for all of you who are looking for when communities attack, you're in the right place. So first off, why am I qualified to talk about this? What am I doing standing up in front of new people? Currently, I'm the Vice President of Marketing for Topics.net. We're an internet news site with a pretty big community behind it of about 1 million people spread out across the U.S. Prior to this, though, I actually founded something called the Open Direct, or I co-founded one of the projects out there that had one of the early community efforts in late 90s, the Open Directory Project at dmoz.org, which is the largest human-edited web directory used by Google, AOL, and lots others. And for all of you out there, actually, who's on a laptop right now who's actually logged in somewhere? A few of you. The Wi-Fi has problems. Great. For those people who actually do get access to something, throughout the presentation, I just stuck up some Google queries just in case you're bored of listening to me and you want to learn more about what I was talking about. I actually put up the query that it, you know, could dive down into things. So, in any case, moving on. That's also my contact info. Anybody who wants to contact me now, later? Okay, for why does this matter? Who should care? First off, I guess one little survey out there is how many of you are building, running, or integrating an online community into your sites or something professionally? Excellent. That's great. Hopefully you'll find this useful. The second group of people might be anyone participating in an online community. And finally, given the nature of the talk, anybody who's actually discussed by an online community, because that's often what happens in, when communities attack. So what are we talking about here? And I think that this subject is particularly interesting because we've had online communities for at least 30 years. People, things like Usenet, certainly more recently, all the things on MySpace, Friendster, the Open Directory. But most recently, things have been having a footprint in the real world. So, for example, when the Washington Post pulled part of its site over commentary, that hit major news. It was a big deal. The guy, Dan Rather, hit this, I guess, about 2 years ago when he basically started talking about a report about George Bush's military record, which bloggers on both sides came in, and it was a huge national maelstrom of folks saying one thing or another. This is also hitting small towns, interactivity where everybody knows each other, and they're using the online community to sort of get their grievances out there. And I guess how many of you were in Matt Mullenweg's talk a few, maybe an hour or two ago? He gave a great talk about scaling the communities, and I thought, when he's talking, he's starting to talk about building an audience, and your first problem is building and scaling that audience. I'm talking about the next part, the audience. And one of the guys who used to be one of the big moderators on Usenet, I think, had a great quote. Eugene Spafford is a CS professor at Purdue. Ability to type on a computer terminal is no guarantee of sanity, intelligence, or common sense. Something to keep in mind while you're building your communities. One big example was in 2006, the Washington Post took down commentary functionality regarding a story where one of her columnists, Deborah Powell, essentially put out a column that said that one of the guys who was being indicted, Randy Duke Cunningham, played both sides of the fence, both Democrats and Republicans, and pretty much turned out most folks disagreed with her, and some very vehemently. This poor lady. I love this quote from one of her later columns. Nothing in my 50-year career prepared me for the thousands of flaming emails I got last week for my last column. Emails so abusive and many so obscene that part of the Post website was taken down. And, I mean, she had a point, because if you look at some of these things that she actually quoted herself, so I put these things out there, you're looking at these and just going, oh my, really rude. And people were just very, very vicious. And so the Post decided to take down that portion of their site that had to do with this. And I think they had around 1,000 comments before they took it down. And it was a pretty big deal. It was reported in a lot of places. But this was pretty interesting because it hit mainstream news. How many of you remember the cartoons, the Prophet Muhammad's last year? Well, we remember it because, one, we were afraid of getting bombed. But the second thing is we received, depending on how you count it, you can count it as more than this, but conservatively, we received at least 50,000 comments on our site about the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. And this led us to actually do something on our site. If you go onto our forums now in topics.net, the commentary actually auto-tags where the commenter is from. So we started this. We got all these comments. We're like, where the heck are these people coming from? We figured we'd geotag the posts and start putting them on there. And that had a couple of interesting effects. One is we found out that most of these things were coming from the Middle East and Scandinavia. So it was people in Denmark arguing with people from Yemen, which we thought was pretty cool. It's like, hey, this is the people who are affected. The other thing it did was it turns out the tone of the entire forum got a little more friendly once you put someone's town name next to it, because it turns out that no one wants to bring shame to their town. So when you're calling from, you know, putting a comment in from some little town near the Arctic Circle, there's like 100 of you. People don't want you to say horrible things. So it turns out that was one thing we learned, was actually geotagging people, not precisely, but, you know, basically to the town level, worked out pretty well to moderate this. Another thing we found, though, was users coordinated offline to attack other users. They would get together through email or via IM, and they would actually coordinate to attack the other folks. And primarily this was folks in the Scandinavian side. So while the folks in the Middle East were saying things that I personally found kind of abhorrent, the guys from Scandinavia were doing the really dirty stuff under the rug in terms of getting together to group flag posts, attack and sort of beat on other individual users as a group, and then try to lobby to unban users. So we found all these things out, and it was just hilarious. It was like, wow, these people really take this stuff seriously. But one thing this really made us think was, who are we to tell? We're a bunch of carpetbaggers from Palo Alto, right? We're out there going, hey, we're going to build this big social network and see what people do. And all of a sudden, there's people halfway across the world saying mean things to each other. Who are we to say whether something's good or bad or should be taken down or not? Like, what's our cultural role in talking to people who are defending their faith or defending their freedoms? It's just something was kind of interesting from our standpoint. Perhaps a more normal circumstance for us is the thousands of towns where we have folks who are actually commenting on their news or commenting on their community. And there's this one place, Columbia, Kentucky. And we have 60,000 posts, or actually over 60,000 posts to date from a town of about 4,000 people. So as far as we can tell, every man, woman, and child in Columbia has actually been on our forums. We have over 1,400 discussions on there. And I was looking on there, which is a good example of what we're talking about. So it's not it's not one of these, the presidency's at stake, and it's not one of these things where we're looking at a major of international importance. But this is what's much more common in today's net. I just went out there and found this great thread that was started like 3 days ago called Trailer Park, which I really liked. It was like, this is America, right? This is not some highfalutin thing. This is Trailer Park. And this guy, Nervous Man, is basically talking about how they should clean up the trailer park near his town. And there's about 30, 40 comments in there. And somewhere down the line, this guy, Nervous Man, refers to this guy named Brandon Sullivan, indicating that he's some sort of police officer. And, you know, it's not sure clear what he's saying is nice or not nice, but he's definitely talking about him. Well, you know, 2 hours later, Brandon Sullivan appears and says, stop talking about me, which we found really interesting. This is where we think the future of all this online community is coming from. These guys probably know each other, or at least have met each other, or are aware of each other. This is the part of, you know, this whole Web 2.0 social software revolution. It's coming to your town. It's coming to your parents' towns. It's coming to the college towns. And it's not always nice. These people are out there saying things they don't necessarily like about each other. So we've noticed some things, specifically around the kinds of flora and fauna of the online attacking community. Well, first off, anonymity does enable certain bad behaviors. It enables people who come on and say, who say nasty things, 100 other people jump on and go, yeah. Things like, it turns out that people like, all those Hollywood stars that make horrible comments, they're not alone. Everybody says that stuff. The issue is, we found is, folks come on and have an online presence. They have like their name they've established. They come on and want to, you know, say something anonymously when they can jump onto the bandwagon and say something really mean about someone. So we found that, again, anonymity breeds bad behavior. It's just like the playground. Attacking people, accusing people of wrongdoing. That person was mean. I want to get that person thrown out. That happens all the time. It's another kind of common occurrence in this type of thing. Getting your opponent banned. And when you start looking through the set of comments everybody made, it's really a he said, she said thing. Everyone's equally horrifying there. Thank you very much. But yeah, so this is a pretty common occurrence. The number of people talking with themselves is truly phenomenal. People create an entire system of people to back up their saying. You're like, yes, me and these 50 people agree with me. And you're like, wait a minute. We actually look at the IP address and they go, yeah, it's the same guy. It's so cool. They start arguing with themselves to establish credibility. But you're like, great. Another favorite is the small groups of very abusive people following each other from site to site, abusing each other. If you go to any of the hot button issues, whether you're right, you think Bush should be, you know, immolated or taken out of office, if you think that they should take all these anti-patriots and throw them out of the country, all these things, abortion, immigration, Zach and Cody, these have huge, huge followings. And these guys all like get together on one site and follow each other from site to site. Sometimes they're like kind of friends, and so you've got these little cabals of people that start coordinating attacks from site to site. Sometimes they're enemies. Sometimes these people follow each other from town to town. This one poor woman on our site was actually, we're attempting to get to know her so that we, you know, when we talk about our site, we can send them over and say, hey, this person uses our site. She basically was on a newspaper-supported forum, and they had so much trouble with someone attacking her, they had to shut down the forum. Fortunately, we've somehow kept her on site, and even though her enemies had followed her, been able to keep the attacks to a reasonable minimum. So what can you do? Well, there's some different approaches here. Certainly you can take down the whole thing. I mean, that was sort of the Washington Post approach. Kinsley at the Wikitorial at the LA Times just sort of said, a pox in all your houses, I'm going to take the thing down. As I mentioned before, we're carpetbaggers. We don't have we're like, hey, I'm not sure we want to be in the camp of people taking things down. We gotta keep the thing up. And we also are, at the end of the day, kind of a big fan of free speech. You can phrase questions when you talk about the kinds of things you see in online attacks, where things are very racially motivated, where things are personal attacks, which really test your mettle on freedom of speech. So, as the guy we hired to our PR set, it's really hard to defend hate speech. But at the end of the day, that oftentimes comes down to be the balance that you're trying to strike. The other thing is, oftentimes, if it's a big hot issue, it's not just your site. You can take down a blog, but you can't take down the blogosphere. Sometimes, hey, look, you're just going to be part of the problem. You might as well, you know, kind of deal with it. The other thing is your system might go down anyway. You get enough stuff. The Washington Post, it's not clear that they took it down because they had a real problem with what was being said as much as their comment system was just getting creamed. So there's also just the systemic effects. Then there's people like MySpace who just abdicated. Hey, man, it's not our problem. That's an approach. You know, I have friends at Facebook, the general counsel of Facebook, who is trying to clean up after that because they think that there's a major societal impact if you just abdicate and something bad happens on your site, if someone some problem happens as a result of people meeting off of your site and so forth. It's also hard to bolt on moderation later. I mean, Jonathan Abrams found this out at Friendster, where he started trying to prevent something from happening that was essentially allowed in his software, and they had a real hard time with this, and you know, policy is important. I personally find that managing and moderating is really the right answer here. You got to think about it, but that's the approach that I think responsible people running an online network should probably take. There are a lot of advances that have happened, and I want to kind of go through this just from the standpoint of what you could do that's different than what you could have done 10 years ago. Things like, well, certainly moderators have been around for a while. Meta-moderators, where it turns out that social software really wants to have a group of people who are really invested in the site and not any particular battle going on. So that's something that I think has come from, you know, 20, 30 years of knowledge. It's like, hey, you probably have different classes of people, a hierarchy of folks who are looking at your site. Registration used to be really simple. Now there are technologies like the CAPTCHA, which actually, you know, it's really simple, but CAPTCHAs go a long way to preventing spam, long ways in preventing people from, you know, screwing with you.
What is it?
I'm sorry. Thank you. How many of you are familiar with what a CAPTCHA is? Okay, good. For those who aren't, it's just the simple thing which actually requires you to type in something that's hard to machine read. So, for example, it's the little weird little letters in almost all of these things. There are simple things like profanity filters out there, which, unfortunately, a profanity filter, people have ways of getting around it. There are things now, like on our site, we actually have heat language analysis, some semantic analysis, which can actually look at the entire post and get a numerical score out of it to see if the thing is just full of hate or whether it's more reasonable. So there's other folks who've done things like this as well, but there's much more powerful tools out there as far as looking at the actual quality of the postings. Another thing, if you're designing a site or building a site, the guys at the Wikipedia really have used this well. Logging is one thing, and most social systems, if you don't log, you're really in trouble. But if the most important thing to look at is recent activity, this allows Wikipedia, for example, to take thousands of edits across their entire site of millions of articles and look at everything right away. As opposed to having to go through and go through each bucket, they can look at sort of the stream of new edits. And this is extremely helpful in terms of keeping bad things out, because you can just keep a look at the sort of the marginal stuff coming through your site. There's things like on our site, for example, you can look at per post type issues, but oftentimes it's the per, you know, it's getting up to the per user or per IP address or per domain. I mean, this is where you catch the, hey, this user is the same as the other 10 users, same guy. You can look at this stuff, and the more and deeper you look into it, the better job you'll do at actually moderating the entire site. Or you can find out that a given domain is just full of horrible people. Maybe you should just not let them in. Obviously, folks like Digg have done really good things with voting systems. Flagging is the simple solution, but you can actually take all the flags and votes or what have you and actually do things with them. You can actually analyze what's coming out of that and use that as well. And finally, I think the thing I'll say a couple times here is removing the bad stuff is only one part of it. Removing the bad stuff is actually kind of boring. It's possible. It's something you should do. And when you're looking at these attacks, these communities launch upon each other, the more that people see your site as a place to push an agenda as opposed to destroying someone else's, the better off you'll be. Finding the good stuff and putting it out there, I think, is another real important part of this. Thank you. I apologize. A meta moderator is someone who actually, as opposed to someone who is a first-level person looking at posts, it's looking at the actions of other moderators. So meta meaning a moderator of moderators, someone who's looking at a larger and more global set of issues. And it turns out usually of the folks that moderate things, some people will go beyond that and they will want to have more of a role in your site. And actually, again, they're almost folks below the level of people you've hired, but people who have actually come in and they want to help clean everything up. And it's a more general role. I wanted to go in something here, which is sort of really down to the metal in terms of social architecture. There's a site in Japan, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, Seechan or Nichan, but the guy who ran that, we found this in Japanese and actually had to find this really obscure, but it turns out you'd think that registration would just help everything. Well, if you add registration, it'll make everything better. These guys found out that that wasn't necessarily true for them, and the guy came up with some principles, and I won't read through all of these, but it's basically the idea that trolls love to register. Trolls love to register more than normal people. So what registration does is it creates more trolls. You create a troll-friendly atmosphere. So we're not sure if we have sort of a blended system on topics, but it's something to take a look at, and it's something to say that the simple sort of first-level reaction often isn't the right one. And from a growth standpoint, it's something that we found is that we took off registration about a month in, and all of a sudden things started to grow. And this is after, I think, this is 3 months worth of work. This is about a year of work for us. We're getting about 30,000, 35,000 posts a day. And that part right there where you can't quite see it, that's where we took off registration. And so, again, there's some things there where you might want to take a look at your first principle reaction and delve into it before you just think, oh, we'll have registration, we'll make people do all these things. Because it turns out, well, the bad people have a lot of time on their hands. People who actually want to say good things often don't. They want to come in, make a pithy comment, and leave. If you make them work for it, you might get a lot of people who are sitting at home with lots and lots of time on their hands. From our standpoint, we believe we've created something interesting because it turns out that people all over the U.S. actually want to be part of this whole online thing. The internet's a two-way communications medium, and it just because folks aren't interested in technology, they aren't interested in the things that, you know, the construction of these things. It turns out people in the Southeast and the Southwest do care. And interestingly, they also bring the same bad behaviors with them that everybody else has. They go through the same growth that everyone else does. And so, you know, it's figuring out what is it that we can do about this? What should you do? So we talked about some of the tools of what could you do, but I think a lot of this comes down to what, starting with something what Dan Farmer, who's a big security guy, said, security is policy. You know, have one. It's important to think about the rules. Think about what's going on and try to make some decisions. You got to figure out what you care about on your site. There's a lot of things which are going to have an inverse relationship to success. I mean, if you want to build something big, you're going to have to think about it hard, because if you take everything out, it's not going to grow big. But yet, if you let everybody bad in, it's not going to grow big either. We've optimized for growth. Our approach at Topics has been, all right, let's see what we can do to keep the numbers going up as high as possible. And that doesn't mean just letting everything in, but in fact, what we discovered was try to get rid of the bottom 5 to 10% as much as possible. We have some pretty good automated software systems. We have a team of people we've hired. I think there's three of them so far to moderate the site. And what we've sort of done is, like, this is the big real-world advice. Try to eliminate threats, calls for violence, personal details, and posts which are 100% formulated out of harm. That means that we allow things in there that are pretty incendiary, but they have to have some purpose. If it's just basically five lines of wrath, we disallow it. But there's a lot of stuff out there that you take. If you take away everything heated from the discussion, it's not very interesting. But our formula has been basically about a 5-10% constant level, which in this case now is about 3,000 plus posts a day get killed in our system. Oh yeah, I also want to say, we're 10 years in, we think we're kind of at the top of our game, and we're still figuring it out. It's not like there's a right answer here. I think that it's really interesting that after 30 years here, there's a great paper by Clay Shirky called A Group is Its Own Worst Enemy that I would encourage all of you to read. We're setting up an online community. And it looks like everybody goes through these things all the time. And there are no right answers. Because it's an optimization versus a maximization, there are no really right or wrong places to go. You just have different effects. And MySpace, for example, seeing the effects of having a completely unmoderated system, having a hard time selling their traffic, their CPM rates are around 12 cents versus a newspaper of 40 bucks, because people go on there and they're just like, ew. And that's a problem. On the other hand, there are a lot of communities out there that have like 20 people, and they're trying to grow like mad, and they're like, what's the problem? Well, you've got an issue if you just take everything down. Clay Shirky had a paper, that one. The a group is its own worst enemy. Google Shirky, Shirky, group enemy. Probably you'll get it. And again, I think the real challenge here is identify the good stuff. I mean, if your system is all about, I mean, your online community probably has a purpose, or I would recommend having a goal or a purpose. And the challenge then is to make that as best as you can. Make it the best you can be, as opposed to just identifying the worst that is, because that will give people a lot more to talk about than just savaging their neighbor. So again, I want to sort of like reflect that it's a well-understood problem. Go and research this stuff. I mean, this morning I was at a talk on user-generated content when someone basically made the point, hey, are you guys going to get sued because you have users doing things for you for free? Are they ever going to want to get a part of your buyout? And it's like, everyone on the stage is like, oh yeah, that's going to be a big problem one day. Well, it was a problem. In 1997 for AOL, I was part of the court case. I know the answer. And it turns out that there are 9 things the Department of Labor says that if you answer no to these 9 questions, the people who are coming on your site are not employees. It's pretty well defined. There's actually case law for it. A little bit of research goes a long way. I'd really recommend it. The difference today is scale and impact. If you're creating an online community, whether it's Flickr, or our online news at Topics, or Twitter, there are scale and impact issues here. It's great when everybody at South by Southwest is using your product, but when everybody in the U.S. is using your product, it's different. And when a community attacks an individual, when a community attacks each other, when they attack you, that impact is very, very different. There's an offline component to this that's pretty interesting. So everybody out there who's building or integrating an online community, you have more of a responsibility. Back when Lambda Moo was at Park and it went down because everybody voted it out of existence, it was sort of a few people, a couple hundred people. Was there something they did at night on the phone or essentially on a BBS? It's different today. This can lead to real world issues. So there's more of a responsibility. Everybody learns the hard way. I'm going to tell you to do all the research and you're not going to. And then you're going to get smacked. And that's part of the fun. Everybody gets smacked the hard way. Even if you've done it before, you're going to do it again. It's like we're building up a site, same group of people that I've worked with for 10 years, and things come happen. You're just like, oh man, not again. Jesus. So don't beat yourself up too much about it. I wrote Deborah Howell, actually, in preparing for this talk, the woman whose column created that firestorm at the Washington Post. And I got a response, which I thought was really interesting. And she gave me this response basically saying, what I said, what did you learn from this? And her lesson was to, you know, there was a sort of journalistic response here. But I really like her last point, which is, I've gotten used to the incivility. I don't like it, but I don't get as angry. And I think that's a big part of it, is just sort of chill out a little bit. So that's pretty much the talk. And I wanted to give everybody a chance, if anyone wanted to ask any questions about this stuff, to do so. Go for it. Hey.
I work at a large website called ESPN.com, and I had a question for you. What do you do if you have a forum of some type and people from another forum, a blog or another site, get together and gang up on your activities there and make, you know, destroy your conversation? Any suggestions in that regard? Yeah, Deadspin. Thanks.
One thing to do.
We had a lot of fun with them. We learned some lessons this last
month. I think identification is a big deal. Like, for example, if you can identify these folks in any way, I think it's probably useful to, if you're going to put ants in a bottle, it might be, try to make light of it, be one thing. Give people a feeling that they're supported. Have a presence. It's just like having the police walk around the neighborhood. Online presence is important. If you have a way in your online system to put in, hey, a note from the staff, here's what's going on. I think that's a big part of it. Sometimes you got to throw people out, and there are some secret tricks we can tell you as well that work because people don't know them. You can write us, but for the most part, I think that except for those things, transparency and giving people a what's going on is important.
I have a question about, I want to repose a question that someone smarter than I asked at a previous panel, but it's, what are your thoughts on the ethics of having sort of not transparent, but officially sanctioned sort of people being involved in a conversation as a means of avoiding moderation and redirecting it back to something that's more appropriate? So in the circumstance that a discussion starts to spin out of control, having someone who is perhaps, you know, doing this with the authorization and knowledge of your organization who's managing this community, step in as a sort of participant, but with the idea of providing kind of a guiding hand back in the direction of civility. What are your thoughts about that?
And we did this actually the last effort that I was involved with, the Open Directory, where people essentially, what we realized is they were under the house of protection of one of the staff, and they had these offline discussions with them. I think what you get with that, you can probably fix the conversation that way, the individual conversation. What you got to be careful of is people start becoming unofficially meta-moderators. You give them an unofficial role, and all of a sudden they get to wield that power pretty effectively, or not. I would say that you look at the unintended consequences. I think that's a fine model. Ethically, I would say that you should probably give them a real role so that people don't feel unfairly, because people will feel unfairly besmirched, be like, hey, wait a minute, why does that guy get to have official sanction? But again, there's a trade-off here. The more rights you give people through the community, the more the community becomes run by these people you've never met, and you'll have to build other tools and policies, or enable people to build the tools and policies to make sure that these people don't become mini dictators. It's the same thing as running a concentration camp. Like, you give people the power within the community to police themselves. The people in the community hate those people, right? So something to think about. Yep. Is that it's like any other social situation.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys all coming. Thank you very much for your time.